This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Are you a virgin?
Oh, you are hilarious. this is good.
You're a virgin!
How can you go 40 years and not have sex?
I just kind of stopped trying.
We gotta help the man. We cannot let you go on being a virgin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You gotta highlight your attributes. Just wax that whole Teen Wolf thing off.
No! Kelly Clarkson! Help! I hate you! Stop smiling!
You look like a man-o-lantern.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
What am I supposed to say?
Nothing.
Just ask questions.
Are you looking for something?
Is there something I should be looking for?
We have a great, section of do-it-yourself.
Do you like to do it yourself?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, joined as always by Shamila Ganesan and Arvind Yuvaraj. And today we've got a really fun Throwback Tuesday because we're throwing back to, I think, the beginning of a particularly noughties version of comedy, and I mean naughty in every which way, because we are looking back to 2005's The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
So that clip that we just heard, right? There was so much trouble finding appropriate clips because half the dialogue in this film would have to be censored for on air. But it really is one of those movies, I think, you know, directed by Judd Apatow, introducing a whole range of actors in the particular kinds of roles that we've gotten so used to them in. Seth Rogen, Steve Carell, even Paul Rudd to a certain extent. It's so much fun revisiting this because it reminded me of a particular genre that became really popular when I was at a particular age.
The Judd Apatow genre.
Yes, pretty much.
And I love this movie because this is the first film of that genre. It's literally his first, the first film that he directed. He's been a writer for like a very long time, Judd Apatow. And also, as much as it is the film that sort of shot Steve Carell to superstardom, like it just broke him open, it's also the film that sort of put Judd Apatow on the map. So I think it's equally a Steve Carell film. It's equally a Judd Apatow film. It's also kind of the, like you mentioned, like the introduction to Seth Rogen, which then his career started from there. So there's a lot of starting points that can be traced back to The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
So I've never seen this. I know all the bits. I know the waxing bit and, you know, I've seen the memes and the little clips. But I think it just kind of entered it, when it was out. I just sort of missed it. And I'm so glad that we watched it. So we've already talked about some of the major players. But essentially, Steve Carell plays Andy, who is a 40-year-old man working at an electronics store. And by the way, there's so much old tech in this, it's crazy. And he is, as the movie's title explains, a virgin. And eventually, everybody in the film kind of makes it their mission to kind of help him enter the next phase of his life, I suppose. And what I enjoyed the most about it really is, aside from Steve Carell's performance, which is genuinely very sweet and winsome and incredibly funny and charming, everybody, there's a very sweet heart at the movie, despite the fact that it's supposed to be somewhat raunchy. And at times, of course, it definitely goes there. Broadly speaking, it's a really sweet story about male friendship, which I think Judd Apatow does very well.
You know, I think that when you watch it when it came out, because so much of this material was still fairly borderline controversial, the raunchiness, the language, the portrayal of certain scenes, I think a lot of that heart that you're talking about was an afterthought for many people. But watching it now, when you can get most of these things on Netflix or on HBO, and censorship isn't something we often have to worry about, you know, this was a movie you definitely wouldn't have watched in the cinema. You would have watched it in some way at home. But the second time around for me, more than second time, but this recent rewatch really reminded me of how much there is to mine in terms of just, it's not just about the fact that this man hasn't had sex. It's about intimacy. It's about finding love. It's about finding yourself. So there's so much here that isn't just about the jokes and the sex and the dirty comedy. You're right. It's a very adult film in many ways.
And I think the only reason he could have got this to work is if he focused on the chemistry of the characters. So I think picking those people was like very, very important. So we mentioned Seth Rogen before. Like Seth Rogen wasn't as famous before this film. Like he was known for Freaks and Geeks. And sort of bringing Seth Rogen into the fold and then putting Paul Rudd in there. And Paul Rudd is like, he's amazing in anything he does. Romany Malco, I think... was supposed to be like the new Kevin Hart at the time, but then he's also, it's about building chemistry with all of them and making them very believable as friends, because they're not friends outside of the electronic goods store. They just work there. So they're a bunch of employees. So you have to believe that they would go to all these lengths to help Andy have his first like sexual experience, you know? So why would they do that? So I think in that sense, Judd Apatow is like, he's very good at this. He's like a master at creating friendships when maybe there were no friendships to begin with.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that the film, what I like about it is that it's very easy for it to have become quite spectacular and kind of silly in a bad way, just really extending its premise way beyond where it could logically go. And I think that the film steps very far away from doing that. It purposely, it doesn't judge, which I think is important for a film like this. And it has some wise things to say about the value in which we place on certain things that others may not. It has some wise things to say about the difference between self-expectation and the expectations others have of you. It also has some wise things to say about how you might be coming off like a serial killer, even if you didn't need to, which I love. I also like that. So with that serial killer joke, for example, it's something that is planted very early on in the film and that comes to fruition much later. And I just love the way that it carries its through lines. I enjoyed it so much. I think that it's one of those things where it's very entertaining on the surface, and there's also a lot underneath it to keep it going and to make it a very rewarding rewatch.
I think there's several things that the movie does which I think really work to give it that kind of texture and the depth, you know. One of it being, for all that Steve Carell's character Andy is the butt of everyone's jokes in the film, he's actually a far better and nicer person than most of the other guys. The other guys are all dysfunctional in their own ways. And as a viewer, you're actually a lot more, yes, they make fun of him, but the others aren't sort of together and admirable either. So the movie is aware of that and it positions you in that position. So you're always on Andy's side. But I think the other really underrated stroke of genius is casting someone like Catherine Keener to play opposite Andy, because she's so good in that role. But she's also not sort of a straight comedy actress. She's also not so far out of his league that this becomes unimaginable and unbelievable. So there's something very real about the whole thing that I think lets the comedy through. Even some of the stuff that feels a little un-PC today, you're very willing to give it a pass because it feels like real life. This is how real people behave and talk.
So that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Like, do you feel the dysfunction aged well? Because there's no way this movie is getting made today, like not with the same jokes, not with the same characters and stuff. Like Paul Rudd does so many things that wouldn't make it into a movie as,
and
like
it
you
being
mentioned, like
Paul Rudd, right? I forgot. Yes. Like, I was like, you were this guy?
He was that guy. And there's so many things he does that are like, they're beyond questionable. Like, he should not be doing these things. And they're not charming, like, by any standards. But I think the movie sort of allowed it because it got made in that window, right? In that time frame. So do you think it aged well, the film? Like, some of the jokes and stuff?
So I think that if you're looking at the jokes as standalone jokes, then you're going to find a lot of problems with it, right? There's a whole running gag where, do you know how I know you're gay? And it's meant to be seen as like male bonding, but it also comes from a very specific time and place in which that was seen as an easy way to make a joke, right? And that's not necessarily something that I think comedy or comedians rely on anymore. But I think because there were some moments that were so funny, and the movie as a whole is so funny, and its heart is in the right place, I think, that even the stuff that would not get a pass today still just kind of flies on by. When I think about what I find most funny in the film, it's of Steve Carell pedaling furiously home going, "Bag of sand, what were you thinking?" and that just still just kills me every time. And so the stuff that I found a bit more questionable, I don't know, perhaps because I was not part of the community that would be offended by it, but I didn't mind it.
I think also the distinct 2000-ness of the film, the tech, the way people dress, the, you know, the areas that they film in, helps give it that pass. You know that it's not something you're watching today. You also know, because they're very familiar faces, you also know how they've evolved and the kinds of things they do today. So I think it has that perfect time capsule feel that allows you to think, okay, this wouldn't fly today, but I get why this worked then.
Same.
So we're talking today about 40-Year-Old Virgin, which is 2005. And it's a very 2005 film. When you watch it and you see the phones and the rest of it, and the, was there even a laptop in there? Anyway, when you watch this movie, you know when it was made. We're talking about 2005's 40-Year-Old Virgin, which was Judd Apatow's directorial debut, Steve Bell's star turn. Do you remember watching it? Is it something that you plan to watch soon? You can let us know by WhatsApping 018-789-8899 and also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
Alright. Hello, Trish, how you doing? What's going on? Good joke. Oh, this is a fun conversation. Just girl back home and to call her. She asked you to call her. She wants you to call her.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm well.
Who is this?
This is James.
James. Do I know you, James? Go.
I was wondering whether you had a few minutes to talk about laundry detergent.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, and together we are throwing it back to 40-Year-Old Virgin, which was released in 2005. I want to talk a bit more about Steve Carell, because we already knew him, and at the time he was, you know, starting to come into his own as Michael Scott. And we've spoken extensively on the show about how much we like The Office and, you know, how Steve Carell's a huge part of that. But I love the fact that I think that this was a precursor to the kind of flexibility that you would see in Steve Carell's career, because I did not watch him and fall into the trap of thinking, ah, I'm watching a TV character doing a thing.
I think this movie could not have worked without Steve Carell. And I think this movie also created that balance of, this could easily have been a drama film. It could have been a movie about a person's pathology, about a person who was intensely lonely.
God, that would have been torturous.
It would have been. It would have been Oscar bait number one. But also, Carell, I think, knows that balance. So he lets you see just enough of the loneliness and the sadness and the fears, but then also has like this hilarious karaoke scene, or, you know, goes to a restaurant and is embarrassing, but also kind of charming. And so he plays that so well. And I think that he's made a career of playing those kinds of characters who are so real that they are painful, but also funny.
But I think the best part about it is the movie doesn't paint him as a loser, and he doesn't play himself as a loser. He's basically like a normal guy, other than the fact that he is, like the title says, a 40-year-old virgin, and that's the whole plot, right? But other than that, he's not someone who you would peg as like extremely socially awkward or has any kind of other problem other than the movie's title itself. And I think that... without The Office, like if you push The Office aside, that's a TV show. This is the most Carellian film ever made. Even though it's the one that sort of like was his platform, I don't think there's a more 100% Steve Carell movie than this one.
I mean, it was co-written, right? It's co-written by Steve Carell and Judd Apatow. I think that comes through. So I think also the script is very... So we've talked about how some parts haven't aged well, but on the whole, I think that the script is really sharp and real, and the banter that you see between these guys and the ways in which they struggle, broadly speaking, struggle to speak with women, I found that very, very real. And that was part of the appeal of the movie. I think I remember reading about how the studio wasn't happy with the way the movie was shot and lit. And that's because it has a very sort of strange indie feel. The movie that it called to mind actually was a movie we threw back to fairly recently too, which was Juno. It's the sense of you're watching people walk around. You're watching people walk around in natural light. There is There's a very naturalistic feel to the film that I think the script helps, as well as the fact that they were allowed to improvise so much, and you have so many great improvisers on set.
I don't want to give away the ending, but you know, once you get to it, you'll realize just how much that is true. How much of this film was just on the fly, like, hey, I think that could be funny. Let's do it that way. And for that reason, I actually think that this is also Judd Apatow's best film. A lot of his future films, I like them. I like Superbad a lot. Knocked Up, not so much a fan. But I feel like the things that he was trying and experimenting with in 40-Year-Old Virgin later crystallized into things that became a little predictable and a little tropey in his future films. But here, you kind of see them in this great, raw, like untried form, and there's something very fun about that.
So the other thing is, this is nothing much to do about the story of the film, but I noticed that it works as this weird time capsule when it comes to nerddom and pop culture and the way that they're both like portrayed in this film, right? And it wasn't, what is it, like 15 years old? And back then, if you wanted to show someone who is, like, you know, slightly socially awkward, as you know, doesn't know how to communicate as much, this is what you do. He's like, he has a room full of like collectibles and posters and toys and figurines and stuff. And that was just 15 years ago.
And they get today, him to clear out the house when Trish comes over for the first time.
Exactly. And then you fast forward like 15 years later. And if anyone you speak to doesn't know who Thanos is, you're like, where have you been like for the last 10 years? Like, you know, which coma do you wake up from? And I think that was it's a nice time capsule. I love watching films that are so specific and have aged so interestingly, in that sense that they use something to portray someone. And then like 10 years later, that thing doesn't make sense anymore.
Mm. That extends every which way. There is a whole conversation during a meet cute about a VCR, and I'm watching it thinking, this is amazing. This is beautiful.
And about eBay. They talk the about eBay for ages.
It's so funny, though, because, you know, we throw back every week, right, to a variety of eras. Sometimes we go all the way back to, I think the furthest back we've gone, I would say, is the 40s. And so when we do that, it's strange how sometimes movies that were made in the 40s or even the 80s with no recognizable hallmarks of the world we currently live in feel less weird than watching something from 2005, which has like the beginning of all the stuff that we use now, all the stuff that we take for granted, but at the same time, not at all. You know, people are still calling each other on their landlines. And that's a thing.
You can pretend to be someone else. Oh, this isn't the call that I this isn't the person I thought you thought it was. Oh.
Exactly. It's so strange.
The other thing I realize has changed so much, and Judd Apatow was credited for this, is creating that certain kind of man for the screen, right? The Seth Rogen type of leading man, because he was single-handedly responsible for, is it called a slob hero? I think that's what it was, where you have all of these men who are in their 30s, aren't really going anywhere, have fairly dead-end jobs, but then somehow end up having it all, meeting the great women. And that was such a trope, and Judd Apatow pioneered it. And I think it's only now that we've seen it with the advent of the superhero movies, we saw a change, and so that hero doesn't really fly anymore. But for a while, we had so many films, sitcoms, TV shows, movies that were all around that idea of the man-child.
I think they go to the altar of Tom Hanks and Billy Crystal. I think they started it, and like Judd Apatow sort of like went full force with it and took that and ran with it. Do you guys think that if they remade this film, it would work? Or the second question would be, like, Judd Apatow hasn't made films like this in a while, so he's been experimenting with like different formats and all. His last film was King of Staten Island, which is very different from 40-Year-Old Virgin. So do you want him to go back to this format, or do you think there's any way a movie like this could be made by Judd Apatow today, but with different players? Like, you know, introducing new people to the screen.
I think the time for this kind of comedy has kind of passed, especially if it focuses on this group of people. Perhaps I think when we talk about diversity, it is a thing that I don't think I want to know more about 30-year-old white guys in a nondescript part of LA working in a tech store anymore. Maybe with other actors of different backgrounds, perhaps?
Yeah, I don't know. I do think that I do think that sex farces or sex comedies, raunchy comedies, I don't necessarily think that that is done. But I agree that perhaps it depends who it is and what kinds of stories that we're trying to tell, right? Because this movie, also because it has become such a pioneer in its own way of this specific form, I don't really want to see more of it. I also like to see Judd Apatow, I think, extend the kind of storytelling that he can do. Because at the heart of an Apatowian, is that the word? an Apatowian film is always this element of sweetness, a little bit of raunch, a little bit of vulnerability. I think the best of Judd Apatow films have that. And I'd like to see more of that, but told in other ways. I also just wanted to add on that I appreciated that the film, perhaps not enough, but that the film calls out his friend's toxicities. Because they're a really toxic bunch. I mean, they're good to him, but they are a bunch of people who really struggle with relating to humans and think that they don't. And the movie kind of pokes fun at that in a way that works, because otherwise it would be difficult to spend 2 hours plus with these people.
Yeah, and
none
I think
of them have boundaries, like any boundaries whatsoever.
But that's exactly why it's a great rewatch. It's not so out there that you're like, oh, I hate these people. They all get called out. And because of that, it's still very relevant today.
I also, I think you could watch this movie and sort of count the number of cameos that pop up. I don't know if they were cameos back then, because there are a bunch that you will recognize, and they might not have been recognizable at that point. So maybe this was the launchpad for them as well. But it is a fun movie to watch and then pick out faces that you would have seen appear in like TV shows and sitcoms and like other future movies. Lots of recognizable faces. And some of them show up like for a minute at most, and then just disappear into the background, and you never see them again, and you're like, why was that person there?
Because it was 2005 and they weren't famous yet. So we're talking today about The 40-Year-Old Virgin, ahead of tomorrow's review of Seth Rogen's latest An American Pickle. Let us know, have you seen 40-Year-Old Virgin? Do you plan to watch it? I think now it's a great weekend watch. Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.